Good morning to you all, everybody. I'm Moses Israelis from 1130 and Myanmar Service. Last Sunday, we heard about the Messianic King, King Jesus, who entered into Jerusalem on the donkey, which portrays the great humility and gentleness. Thus, the preacher, Reverend Christopher Chan, encouraged us we must respond to him not only by surrendering our will to the Father's will, but also we are to be willing to give our service unto Christ Jesus by carrying him on our shoulder as like the donkey. So as the pilgrim journey continues this Sunday, we meet face to face again with this King Jesus who is washing his disciples' feet. So to understand the fuller extent of Jesus' actions and who he is, we need to build our context here. Next slide. The central story of the Old Testament is the story of slavery and liberation from the world and sin to worship one true God. I am who I am. I am what I am. The great Passover meal is commemorates the liberations from slavery in Egypt, where they, which mean God's people, were oppressed for 430 years. That this true God, Yahweh, bring his enslaved people out of Egypt to freedom by breaking their chains, by overcoming the master-slave dynamic in order to worship God alone. So the most fascinating thing is the book of the prophets, as we all know, who address the issues in Israel's worship when they become a great nation. How they could be treating like foreigner, outsiders, like those who used to enslave them. How could they be treating poor with oppression? Don't they remember? They themselves were once slave in Egypt. It should not be that way. Rather, there should be a new way of living, of organizing their life as a liberated people of God. So with this context in mind, we come to today's reading, John 13, where we will encounter this true God liberate his disciples from slavery of self-centeredness and to worship God alone. Imagine the Last Supper, Passover meals. As you all know from the paintings or the Gospels, you might expect a hurried Passover meal in an upper room. King Jesus take a loaf of bread and break it and give it to the disciples saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Surrounding him are his disciples, whom he loved them to the end, maybe facing at the painter or the camera, so that the future believer may contemplate on it. Is it as though a beloved teacher is about to retire and has his one last meal to share with his student? Is it as though a very ill father preparing for his family for his death? Most urgent in this hour is to reinforce the teachings covered during the teacher's career. For the ill father, what is crucial for his children as death approaches is to reassure the children how much he loved them, or to give them a tangible gift or something they will never ever forget about it. So you will set an example to carry these students or family into the future. At this moment of all eyes on Jesus, he gets up from the table and he takes out his outer garments and tied a towel around himself, and he then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that is wrapped around him. This indeed is the manner of the slave to do such lowly work. Only the lowest of the slave are expected to do such work. This is very unnerving experience for the disciples, as you can see from Peter's reactions. Even though Peter knows the dynamic of the kingdom of God is totally different from the world, but he cannot take it. He cannot take it. He say, "Lord, you will never wash my feet. Lord, you will never wash my feet." So think about this analogy. You are invited to a formal dinner by Jeff Bezos, and you sit down and you're about to eat the dinner. Jeff Bezos, he take off his jacket and he kneel down. He shine the shoes of the participants of the dinner. What will you expect? What is going on? What is he doing? Everybody would be kind of embarrassed, wouldn't they? So that's the same reaction that Peter had. "Lord, you will never wash my feet." What does Jesus say? Jesus said, "You will have no inheritance with me. You will have no inheritance with me." What Jesus is saying here is, "Peter, do you want to be participant in this way, this new way of being? If so, you have to go through the water that I wash your feet." So this is a distinctive mark of the Jesus kingdom, which overturned master-slave dynamic. The master become a slave. Now we began to see what this kingdom. That's Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord, instruct them as a student, they must wash one another's feet. For I have set an example, which is foot washing, that you also should do as I have done to you. It is like St. John version of saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." So my brother and sister, the word from the Lord is, for King Jesus has set as an example feet washing, that we should also do as King Jesus has done to us. So what is our response today, my brothers and sisters? If Jesus gestures of what he is doing is he is giving an example for his disciple to follow. Jesus is showing us what he teaches in other places. The greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by humility and service. I will repeat myself. The greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by humility and service. So it shows us Jesus embodies his message. He is not just a man of word. He is a man of action. These two things form a unity where he preaches what he always practicing what he preaches. And here he embodies his message to be a servant to others, to lower yourself before others, and to serve them all as God would have served them. Thus, Jesus not only mandates the Christian way of life, but he models it. So allow me to quote from this poet, an Anglican priest, Malcolm Guides. He writes, here he shows the full extent of love to us, whose love is always incomplete. In vain we search the heavens high above. The God of love is kneeling at our feet. The God of love is kneeling at our feet. Though we betray him, though it is night, he meets us here and loves us into light. Indeed, the God of love is kneeling at your feet and my feet to wash your feet and my feet, so that we will become his hand to wash others' feet. There is this true story about a man called Herb, a medical missionary in Africa. for many years. He came back to the United States and he worked in this Chicago hospitals. And there he met a chaplain, wonderful chaplain, Chaplain Lily. Many of the people, those come to that hospital are the poorest of the poor. So this Chaplain Lily will bring two things in his hand. One, the Bible, the other one, nail clipper. As he made his daily round, he preached or he talked in the Bible, the Word of God, the next thing he would do is he would take out his nail clipper and trim the nails. Some of the people are not showered for many, many days. Some didn't even own a shoes. But no matter what state of the leg may be, the feet may be, this Pastor Lily will always take out the clipper and trim the toenails. So moved by this chaplain example, Herb carrying a pair of nail clippers in his pocket whenever he went. When he visited patients, especially like the old people, he will take out the nail clipper and trim their nails. So Herb trimmed thousands and thousands of rough, ragged, thick, dirty toenails. He continued doing this until his retirement. For many people, it would be a kind of a small act of kindness, but often it's a job even family members often hesitated to perform. So after Herb's death, his family gave out this nail clipper and the story of his father to share the church members so that they may carry on the Herb's ministries. So coffee, conversations, nail clipper, clipping of the nails, these are the small act of kindness, but also the great example of the foot washer of Jesus. So my brother and sister, how are you called to be a foot washer for Jesus today? How are you to serve in the name of servant? Let me give you some example that you can do as part of your life. Perhaps you may give your time by working at the Lazarus Ministry at St. Andrew's Cathedral, which reaches out who do not have the shelter. Perhaps you may give your energy, if you're very energetic, you can give your energy to the children ministry. We are reaching out via City Community Service, Character in the Young. Or maybe you can be involved in elderly ministries of St. Andrew's Cathedral. Or maybe, one Sunday afternoon of a month, you can spend your time with a foreigner who you do not know, having a meal together with them. Or maybe teaching English via mobile or Zoom. So get your feet dirty, my brothers and sisters, for by walking elderly who cannot walk themselves, especially for their daily needs. So at the very least, you can do is you can call up the elderly church members and those members who are struggling to meet their end needs, those members who have young children, this time they are struggling tremendously, those members who are studying, and those members who come from overseas to come here to study or working. You just simply do these three things. How are you doing? How can I be a help for you? Most importantly, can I pray with you? Perhaps you should all carry a nail clipper whenever you go. So it comes to the end of my homily. Our Christian worship is different. Doing the will of the Father is the heart of the Christian worship. Doing the will of the Father is the heart of the Christian worship. Not just a ritual, but doing what pleasing to the Father's, which means we offer ourselves to God and to neighbors. Without that spirit, no matter how many times you go through the ritual, it will always be empty because it is not fitting for worship. The ritual, the symbols, maybe music for these days, will only be meaningful and right if it is joined to the worship of Jesus. It is Jesus who worship. We are the body of Christ. We join Him in His worship by doing the will of the Father, living for others, washing the feet of others in love, in charity, and in humility. So the ritual and symbols are important, my brothers and sisters, but they in themselves do not make us true worshipper. Let us be the foot washer for Jesus. Let us wash one another's feet for His glory. Let me end with this song inspired from the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Allow me to read through his prayer. Lord, make me the instrument of peace, Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. When there is doubt, let me sow faith. Where there is quiet despair, hope. Where there is darkness, let me sow light. Where there is sadness, joy. Lord, make me Your instrument of peace. Let us respond this song with in our heart. Sadness everywhere around the world. May we be the joy for the Lord. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, who art the author and giver of all good things, graft in our heart the love of thy name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And of thy great mercy, keep us in the same, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.